Welcome to the Health Uncovered podcast, your go-to podcast for all things health, healing, and what to do next on your health journey. I'm your host, Mercedes Cook, a doctor of chiropractic and a diplomate in chiropractic cranial cervical junction procedures. Each week, my guest and I will be uncovering treatment options and health tips to help you get to the root cause of your health issues. If you're tired of seeing doctor after doctor with no answers, then the show is for you. You'll learn all kinds of healthcare options that you may have not known existed that will help you move forward on your healing journey more confident than ever. I invite you to stay open and curious. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Health Uncovered podcast. Today, I am so excited to talk to you guys about one of my most kind of commonly asked questions with patients that I see in my office. We do specialize in upper cervical, so neck-related, head and neck-related issues. And one thing that we see quite a bit is cervical instability. So if you've never heard this term or you don't know what it is, then just a very brief explanation is that cervical instability is when the ligaments in your spine and in your body, they're not supporting and stabilizing your spine like they're supposed to. So some people have what we call cranial cervical instability. So it is more concentrated up at the top, like the back of the skull, the C1 or the atlas area, or down to C2. So some people suffer from CCI, cranial cervical instability. Some people just have cervical instability, which can be lower in the neck. And so essentially your ligaments, your soft tissues, they either there's a genetic component or disease, or there has been some sort of injury that has made these ligaments become unstable. And so now your body is starting to experience symptoms because of it. So I will tell you, if you are suffering from some sort of cervical instability, you are likely feeling some of these symptoms. So I'll walk you through kind of the most common ones that patients will come into the office with. And this is this feeling of your neck just feeling unstable, almost like it's going to fall off. Of course, it's not going to fall off, but that's what it feels like, just the unstable feeling in the neck. You might have headaches or migraines. You might experience muscle spasms in the head and neck. You may have some shoulder, neck pain, jaw pain. A lot of people experience light sensitivity, blurred vision, some ringing in the ears, sometimes even tremors with this condition. And also a common one is it, again, presents differently for different people, but they may have vertigo, they may just have general dizziness, or they may have like a sort of like a loss of balance feeling like you're on a boat. So some of those symptoms, there's of course a ton more from fatigue, you know, not being able to feel comfortable sleeping. Like there's so many symptoms, but you kind of get the gist of neurologically what you might be experiencing if you have cervical instability. And so if you do, a lot of people are like, great, how do I find out about this? And the best way to find out if you have cervical instability is of course through proper imaging. So in our office, we do CBCT, and there are some key measurements that we can look for to know, like, are we suspecting instability? But usually there's a couple things, and it can be your practitioner could do flexion extension x-rays to look for instability. They could do specialized upright MRIs. And then there's also digital motion x-rays. Those are those couple types of imaging are my favorite ways to either do in my office or refer out. So that way we can get to the bottom of where is this instability, how severe is it, and then what we should do going forward for treatment. So there are ways to diagnose it. It can be difficult, but there are some specialized imaging that can really kind of guide us on exactly where the injury has happened and what to do going forward. And just so you guys have an idea, when it comes to cervical instability and how does this happen, like I mentioned, there's a couple things. So you could have a genetic connective tissue disorder, such as Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, Marfan syndrome. This can also happen with having rheumatoid arthritis, tethered cord syndrome, if you have a Chiari malformation, and any spinal degeneration. This can all make you susceptible to cervical instability. And then on top of that, which is more common, is when we see patients in our office who, you know, we see people who do have these connective tissue disorders, who have Chiari malformations. They do great under upper cervical care. And we're going to talk about some treatment options in a second. But really the biggest cause of, or what we see most commonly cause cervical instability is some sort of whiplash injury. So you're in a car accident and you get whiplash, or you fall, you hit your head, you have some sort of concussion related injury, but somehow your neck and head are whipped back and forth in that flexion extension position. So forward and backward. And that is usually what causes the ligament instability or cervical instability. And so either from having some sort of condition to having an actual physical injury, those are usually the most common ways that you get cervical instability. And so what I'm really here to talk about today is if you have any of these symptoms, if you've had an injury, or you have one of these genetic disorders that is potentially affecting you, then what the heck can you do about it? Because, you know, depending on what doctor you see, some of my patients have went in for cervical instability issues and people immediately jump to surgery, which in very extreme cases, is surgery needed? There can be cases, but unfortunately, most cases can be treated conservatively. And so that's mainly what we're going to talk about, of course, because we should always aim to try everything conservatively before we jump into something that is permanent and can't be reversed, of course. So if you have cervical instability anywhere in the neck, these are my absolute top recommendations. First, you need to find an upper cervical specialist in your area. This is a specialty chiropractor who specializes and has extensive training in the upper cervical spine and also in the neck. So with this, you will get gentle structural realignment of the neck, which can help the ligaments over time heal. And so in some cases with upper cervical care, we can see cervical instability heal, get better. That's kind of the main, you know, the main treatment that people have to do. But I highly, highly recommend most upper cervical chiropractors, again, interview them, ask them how knowledgeable they are about this topic. But most people who do specialize in the neck and are doing upper cervical care in their office, they are going to be very familiar with this. They probably have seen lots of cases like it, and they will be a huge resource to you in your healing process. The other thing about that, when you have cervical instability, please understand that the ligaments have been overstretched. It is going to be harder for you to hold your corrections, and healing of your ligaments takes time. It takes a lot of time. So this is not a quick fix. Like, none of these suggestions that I'm giving are a quick fix. All of them are something that require months and or years of time to heal the body naturally. Okay. So like I said, first start with structural care, someone who specializes in upper cervical, that will be the best asset to you. The second thing is strengthening exercises. So there are specific exercises that can greatly help with cervical instability, and it kind of depends on where the cervical instability is, what ligaments, and that is really going to help guide your provider on what exercises you should or shouldn't be doing. And so when you are working with an upper cervical chiropractor, they may or may not be knowledgeable about the rehab or the exercise part of strengthening. If they are very knowledgeable about that and they know how to guide you, awesome. Work with them on the strengthening exercises protocol for that. If not, there are also physical therapists who specialize in cranial and cervical instability that can also help guide you through sort of a rehab or strengthening exercise protocol that could be really helpful. So get your upper cervical specialist on board. If they have a good rehab program or know how to help you strengthen, awesome. If not, partner with a PT who does specialize in it. And then the next thing, so this is kind of like a one-off thing that I have heard a ton about, and it's mainly through case studies and patients just trying this out. And I'm just going to mention it because if you want to do more research into it, you want to try it. I don't really think there's a lot of downsides to trying it and seeing if it helps you. But a lot of people, when they have cervical instability, they'll actually drink aloe juice daily. And so this is said to kind of reduce inflammation, help with cartilage repair. And some people do notice a difference after adding that as sort of like a supplement to their daily routine. they do notice improvement with cervical instability. Now, there's not a ton of, there is some research out there on it. There's nothing definitively saying, yes, you should absolutely do this. It's going to help you. This is more just one of those things that doesn't really have a lot of downsides to trying. So if you want to try some supplementation, then I tell my patients about aloe juice, like they can try it. There's no, you know, guarantee that it's going to help, but look into aloe juice. And if you are going to drink it, make sure you're only drinking organic aloe juice. There's only one ingredient, no added sugars, nothing like that in it. Okay, next. So let's say you have been consulting with an upper cervical chiropractor. You have went through a strengthening protocol with the chiro or the PT. You may be trying some supplementation and you've made some results. You're still not like where you want to be. There are regenerative therapies for extreme cases. And so there are cases that we see in our office where patients have been under care for a long time. They're really taking care of themselves. They're doing a strengthening, they're doing everything that they can. And there is still, you know, they're still either not able to do their normal activities of life, or they're not able to be active like they want to. So they want to kind of take it to the next level. And so this is where I get into with my patients the options of regenerative therapies, which include prolotherapy, PRP, and stem cell. So these three types of injections, they are different types, like prolotherapy, PRP, and stem cell. They're using different components into the injection. I list them that way because according to research and just what I've seen through the upper cervical community and patients, usually prolotherapy is kind of like the entry level. It is like the cheapest option that can be helpful. PRP is kind of like a step up from that. And then stem cell is like an even higher step up as far as cost and again, potential benefit, right? So depending where you are in your journey or how much you want to invest into this type of therapy, you kind of look into all the options. But essentially what these three types of injections are trying to do is they are injections that will be put into the neck in specific areas where healing needs to happen. And the purpose is to try to stimulate healing of the ligaments. So when you have ligaments that are unstable and we want to try to help them, you know, regain their elasticity, make them a bit more stable to actually hold the spine and have less instability, then that is what these injections are trying to do. And so I've seen some, we've had a lot of really great patients who, again, went through our protocol, were under care for a long time, and they made some good progress, but they still needed extra help because of the severity of their injury. And so we have referred to different clinics for these types of injections, and that can be really helpful. So again, there are pros and cons to each of these, but I recommend if you are someone suffering and you have tried the first two things that I said, and you want to look into some regenerative therapy, you know, start researching prolotherapy, start researching PRP and stem cell. I actually hope to have someone on the podcast soon who specializes this and breaks this down for you guys. So stay tuned for that. But these are options that are out there. And unfortunately, most of them are not covered by insurance. This is kind of an out-of-pocket thing, which again, is unfortunate, but I hope that this gives you hope that there are things, if you are suffering, that you can absolutely do. And then after the regenerative therapies part, thankfully, I have never had a situation where someone has went through upper cervical care, they've went through a strengthening protocol, they've done some regenerative therapy. I've never had anybody that has to resort to surgery yet, and I hope that I never do. But again, there are surgical interventions like, you know, fusions and disc replacements and all kinds of things that they do in the neck. These are not things, again, I'm grateful that something like this exists for in extreme cases where no conservative treatment is going to help. But I also believe until you do all the conservative options, like do not consider surgery right away because this is permanent. I have seen people who do get surgery and then it doesn't help at all. And then they're actually worse off, which is, of course, awful. And we never want to see that. And so surgery is not right for everyone. So I just encourage anyone out there struggling, if you are, you know, if you haven't tried these conservative methods, like find someone in your area who specializes in cervical instability or cranial cervical instability and get the help that you need first. And then there's always the extreme measures later, right? So just as a little recap for you guys, what you can do if you are suffering from cervical instability, find an upper cervical chiropractor near you. And then the next part is a strengthening protocol or rehab protocol, either with your chiropractor or with a PT that specializes in this. You can try aloe juice or look into other supplementation that may be beneficial to ligament strengthening as well. And then the regenerative therapy side of things. So like we talked about, prolotherapy, PRP, stem cell, and then the last resort is going to be surgery. So these are kind of what I go through with my patients. Like, hey, let's start here. Let's start with upper cervical. Then we'll go to strengthening. Then we'll resort to regenerative medicine if we need to. And then surgery is kind of our last resort. So thankfully, there's lots of things that can try. We've seen so many people heal from this condition naturally, which is amazing. And so there you go. I hope that these suggestions really help and kind of guide you on the right place. If you're not sure where to start, booking a consultation with me is one of the best things that you can do. Of course, if you're in San Diego, would love to see you and point you in the right direction. And if you're not in San Diego, I will include some directories to upper cervical chiropractors that you can look for in your area. Okay, guys, have a great day and I'll talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this information was valuable and that you share it with a friend or family member who is struggling to find answers to their health issues and they want help moving forward with their healing journey. If you want to keep the conversation going, follow me on Instagram at @drmercedescook. To request a consultation to work together, head to uppercervicalsd.com. I appreciate you tuning in and I look forward to seeing you here next week to dive into the next topic together.